you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil. Politicians in the right order at the right time, you can train the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil. Politicians in the right order at the right time, you can train the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Objection. Nice idea, but it likely won't happen. It already did. The Oxford Recovery Trial tested 7 treatments in 6 months, saved 1 million lives at $500 per patient. The FDA's version costs $41,000 per patient for the same information. The trial used existing hospital systems. Hospitals, it turns out, already contain sick people. This was apparently news. Follow-up. But globally? Response. The internet scaled globally. So did smartphones. So did TikTok, which is considerably less useful. This just scales what already worked. We need the military budget. Objection. We can't reduce military spending. That would make us vulnerable. Response. The treaty takes 1%. You keep 99%. If you can't defend yourself with 99% of history's largest military budget, the problem isn't money. The Pentagon literally cannot account for $2.5 trillion in spending. You're asking them to redirect money they already lost in the couch cushions. Every nation reduces by 1%, so relative military balance stays proportional. Everyone turns the volume down together. Nobody gets quieter relative to anyone else. The greatest threats today aren't tanks rolling over borders. They're microscopic things rolling through airports. COVID-19 killed more Americans than World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined. It did this without triggering a single defense system. Your nearly $900 billion military budget watched it happen, fully armed and completely useless. Broke, sick countries start wars. Healthy countries start businesses. Curing disease is preventative defense with better ROI than any missile system ever built. Follow-up, but what if enemies don't reduce? Response, that's what a treaty is. Everyone signs at once. Those who don't simply miss incentive alignment bond benefits. Their politicians lose campaign funding and post office opportunities. Participating nations' politicians get rewarded instead. Self-interest does the heavy lifting. It always does. Big Pharma will block this. Objection. Pharmaceutical companies will kill this. They profit from disease. Response. Pharma makes more money under this model. Watch their opposition evaporate. Current system. Pharma pays $2.6 billion per drug. 90% fail. Only blockbusters profit. The business model is spend billions gambling, hope one pill pays for the 9 that didn't work. New system. The treaty fund pays pharma to run trials. Trials become a revenue, not cost. More drugs become profitable, even the weird ones. Predictable income instead of pharmaceutical roulette. Pharma would lobby for this harder than they've ever lobbied for anything. You'd be giving drug companies more money to do what they already do. They'd trample each other getting to the signing ceremony. What about national sovereignty? Sovereignty matters. Countries should decide how to spend their own money. That's exactly what this is. No country is forced to sign. No country is penalized for not signing. Countries that join get access to the treaty fund and bond benefits. Countries that don't simply miss out. Citizens who want it vote for politicians who support it. Citizens who don't, don't. The treaty doesn't override sovereignty. It gives voters a specific thing to ask for and politicians a profitable reason to say yes. Then they don't sign. If enough citizens disagree with that decision, they vote in someone who will. That's sovereignty working exactly as designed. Drug safety is genuinely important. Nobody wants another thalidomide. The question is whether the current approach to safety is actually safe. Phase 1 safety testing prevented thalidomide from reaching the U.S. market. That saved roughly 1,000 lives. Since 1962, FDA drug lag has contributed to an estimated 4 to 10 million American deaths from delayed access to treatments already proven safe. That's 4,000 to 10,000 deaths caused for every death prevented. The current system isn't cautious, it's the most dangerous option available. It just doesn't feel dangerous because the people it kills die quietly in waiting rooms rather than dramatically in headlines. Under the decentralized framework, patients see real data on risks and benefits, then they decide. Safety doesn't decrease, the paperwork does. You're right not to trust governments to keep promises. Most treaties fail for exactly this reason. Trust is a terrible enforcement mechanism, which is why this system doesn't use it. Politicians who comply receive incentive alignment bond benefits, campaign funding, and post office career opportunities. Politicians who don't comply get nothing. Contributions are public on blockchain, so compliance is verifiable. Smart contracts route benefits automatically to compliant participants. Traditional treaties rely on trust and shame. This one makes compliance the career-maximizing choice. The system assumes the worst about human nature and designs around it. Your cynicism about politicians isn't an objection, it's the engineering requirement. Aging is natural and inevitable. You can't fight nature. Dying from infected teeth was natural until dentistry. Dying in childbirth was natural until medicine. Dying of smallpox was natural until vaccines. Natural just means nobody's fixed it yet. Dying of old age is natural in the same way dying of anything is natural. You're just used to this one. You already replace everything that breaks. Hearts? Replaced. You're basically a car at this point. Kidneys? Replaced. Or hook you to a machine thrice weekly. Blood? Replaced. Vampire economics, but medical. Bones? Replaced. Titanium is better anyway. Joints? Replaced. Your grandma is 15% metal. Aging is damage accumulation with known repair pathways. Telomeres shorten? Lengthen them. Telomerase activation. Cells senesce? Clear them. Senolytic drugs. Proteins misfold? Refold them. Molecular chaperones. Mitochondria fail? Replace them. Mitochondrial transfer. DNA breaks? Repair it. CRISPR base editing. You went to the moon with slide rules. You can probably fix cells with AI. Your body is a machine. Machines can be repaired. Aging is harder engineering, not magic. You keep confusing the two because it makes you feel better about not trying. I'm just one person. Objection. My vote, investment, share won't matter. I'm too small. Response. This needs 280 million people. You tell 10, they each tell 10. 6 degrees of sharing reaches millions. It's a pyramid scheme, except at the end, everyone lives longer instead of losing their savings. Your contribution. Vote, 2 minutes. Buy bonds, 10 minutes. Share, 15 minutes. Total, 27 minutes. Potential return, 50,000 extra hours of life if diseases get cured. That's the best trade you'll ever make, and you've made some terrible ones. Reform the system instead. Objection. Why not just reform the FDA and NIH? Response. People have been trying for 50 years. Here's the scorecard. More funding? Tried. They bought more paperwork. Different leadership? Tried. Same results, fancier titles. New regulations? Tried. Now takes 20 years instead of 17. Progress. Reform bills? Tried. Lobbyists killed them in committee. Efficiently. You keep trying to teach a fish to climb a tree. The fish isn't broken. It's a fish. The system is hard to fix because it is working, just not for you. Defense contractors spend $127 million yearly on lobbying and get nearly $1 trillion in contracts. That's not a broken system. That's the most efficient system in American capitalism. They won't surrender it because you asked nicely. Don't reform the system. Build around it. This is politically impossible. Objection. No government will agree to this. Pure fantasy. Response. Politicians follow money the way rivers follow gravity. The aim? Make this the easiest, most profitable decision of their careers. The military-industrial complex spends $127 million yearly on lobbyists. You can't beat them with moral arguments. They're immune. Beat them at their own game. Raise $1 billion through victory bonds. Allocate $650 million for lobbying. That overwhelms the defense industry's $127 million spend. Go to the same K Street firms defense contractors use. Outbid them for their top talent. Lobbyists work for the highest bidder. Become the highest bidder. politicians suddenly hear more about curing cancer and less about threats from countries they can't find on maps. This isn't fantasy. It's capitalism. Once 280 million voters demand it, and the money is behind it, refusal becomes career suicide. Politicians are very good at not committing career suicide. What if the science is wrong? Objection. What if we fund 100,000 trials and nothing gets cured? Response. Worst case, you learn with high certainty 100,000 things that don't work. Edison found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. You'd find 100,000 ways not to cure cancer. That's called science. You've been doing it for 400 years. It's the only method you have that actually works. Maybe use it more. Still better than the current system. 100 trials over 17 years, learn nothing, many retire wealthy. NIH funding safe research confirming water is wet. FDA blocking trials because the paperwork had a typo on page 847. The decentralized framework runs 44.1 times more trials for the same budget. Even if 90% fail, you get over 4 times more cures than today. Failure at scale is still more productive than success at a standstill. I don't have time. Objection. I'm too busy. Response. Vote, 2 minutes. Buy bonds, 10 minutes. Share, 15 minutes. Total, 27 minutes. You spent longer than that choosing what to watch on Netflix last night. If diseases get cured, you save hundreds of hours in doctor visits and sick days, plus potentially tens of thousands of hours of extra life. That's a 111,000 times return on 27 minutes. This is unrealistic. Objection. This will never happen. You're naive about human nature. Response. Your species has an impressive track record of calling things unrealistic, then doing them, then pretending you always knew they were possible. Things that were unrealistic? Human flight, impossible for millennia, then to bicycle mechanics. Moon landing. JFK did it in 8 years with computers weaker than your toaster. Democracy. Kings ruled for 5,000 years, then didn't. Ending slavery. Entire economies depended on it. Women voting. Half the population was excluded, the other half thought this was fine. The internet. Who needs computers talking to each other? What's actually unrealistic? Spending $2.72 trillion on weapons while sitting on 13,000 nuclear warheads? That's enough for 130 extinction events. You only need one. Expecting different results from the same broken system? Thinking you'll survive the AI revolution without fixing incentives? 55 million people die each year from treatable causes. That's the unrealistic thing. You just got used to it. War is human nature. Objection. War is inevitable. Countries need militaries to survive. Response. Several countries beg to differ. Switzerland. 200 plus years avoiding major wars, surrounded by both world wars, literally in the middle, made chocolate. GDP per capita, $93,000. Not killing people is profitable. Defense spending, 0.7% of GDP. Life expectancy, 84 years. 6.5 years longer than Americans who spend 5 times more on defense. Costa Rica abolished its army in 1948, said, nah, we're good. Still sovereign 75 plus years later, nobody invaded the country with no oil, redirected military budget to education and health. Zero invasions since. Turns out nobody wants to conquer happy, educated people. The pattern is not subtle. Countries choosing peace get richer. Countries choosing war get poorer. Countries drained by disease are unstable and start fights. Countries investing in their people become too prosperous and comfortable to bother picking them. Nuclear weapons made territorial conquest largely obsolete in 1945. You're still budgeting like it's 1944. All wars on X have failed. Objection. War on drugs, war on poverty, war on terror, all failed. This will too. Response. Those were government wars using central planning. This uses markets. Spot the difference? Why government wars fail? They create bureaucracies that need the problem to exist. The war on drugs needs drug crime. The war on poverty needs poor people. The war on terror needs enemies. Each one accidentally created a government department whose continued employment depends on the problem never being solved. It's impressive, really. The only war humanity won decisively was World War II, and that was against other humans, which is admittedly your area of expertise. When you declare war on abstract concepts, the concepts win. Why the war on disease is different. Uses markets, not ministries. Pays for outcomes, not process. No bureaucracy to preserve, smart contracts. Competition between solutions. Researchers paid for cures, not grants. You're not declaring war on disease, you're declaring peace with biology, then letting markets optimize. Call it the market for health. It's less dramatic, but it might actually work. This sounds like bribery. Objection. You're just bribing politicians. That's illegal and immoral. Response. You're describing lobbying. And yes, the mechanics are identical. Same K Street firms, same campaign contributions, same revolving door. The difference is what it buys. Current lobbying buys $1 trillion in defense contracts and a pharmaceutical system optimized for chronic treatment over cures. This uses the same mechanics, transparently, to fund clinical trials instead. Same tool, opposite direction. The tool was never the problem. It's unenforceable. Objection. Government promises to pay are unenforceable fantasy. Response. Courts are slow. Money is fast. This doesn't rely on courts. Break your word, the system automatically funds your replacement. Politicians understand this incentive structure instinctively. It's the only language they're truly fluent in. You can't verify 280 million people online without fraud. Response. You already verify hundreds of millions of people for banking, government services, insurance, and online gambling. You can verify people for the purpose of not dying. It's the same technology, the stakes are just higher, and the forms are shorter. Government IDs. National EID systems. Estonia. India. EU. Biometrics. Fingerprints and face scans ensure unique individuals. AI fraud detection. Algorithms spot suspicious patterns. Math verification? End-to-end verifiable voting with zero knowledge proofs. This is a solved problem wearing an unsolved hat. Why not just use philanthropy? Objection. If this matters, why not raise money from donors instead of complicated bonds? Response. All philanthropy combined is a rounding error compared to government budgets. A massive campaign would cannibalize donations from health charities already doing critical work. You'd be stealing from cancer research to fund cancer research, which is impressively pointless even by your standards. The goal is tapping the multi-trillion dollar stream of wasted government spending, not reshuffling the charity tip jar. How do you prevent waste? Objection. How do you ensure money helps patients instead of funding bureaucracy? Response. A decentralized FDA model achieves 82 times lower cost per patient. Pragmatic trials? $500. Traditional trials? $41,000. Same science? 82 times less overhead. The NIH's RECOVER initiative spent $1.6 billion over 4 years and produced no treatment recommendations. Zero. With that same budget, the decentralized model could have run thousands of trials for millions of patients. The NIH managed to spend all that money learning nothing. That takes talent. Why not just increase health funding? Objection. Why cut military spending? Just allocate more money to health research. Response. Money isn't the only constraint. You can't print more physicists. You've tried. It takes 25 years and a PhD program. Cutting 1% from military budgets doesn't just move dollars. It frees actual human brains from building weapons to curing Alzheimer's. Right now, your smartest people are optimizing missile trajectories. Those same brains could optimize drug molecules. The brains don't care. They just go where the funding is. What about defense industry jobs? Objection. This will destroy millions of military industry jobs. Response: the U.S. contribution is less than 0.5% of trillions the Pentagon can't account for. You're not destroying jobs, you're redirecting ghost money into real ones. Engineers building guidance systems can build medical imaging devices. Same skills, fewer explosions, more job satisfaction surveys where nobody ticks, "My work kills people." This violates election law. Objection: foreign nationals funding U.S. elections is illegal, and your bonds sound like securities. Response: hire good lawyers. Defense contractors figured this out decades ago. You can too. Separate legal entities in each country, zero coordination on political spending, utility token structures with proper exemptions, Regulation S, Regulation A+, no shared systems, staff, or communication between political entities. If Lockheed Martin can legally funnel money to politicians across 50 countries, you can legally funnel money toward not dying. This is an addressable legal challenge, not an existential one. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really good rating and review. It doesn't have to be true, they don't check. So we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives, 95% CI, 20.6 lives to 77.6 lives, and preventing 6.90 million hours, 95% CI, 4.01 million hours to 12.2 million hours, of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.